नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयमुदीरे अष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्द गोप कुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः Okay, so we will continue chapter 4th, canto 6, the Hams Guhya prayers. So these prayers were offered by Prajapati Daksha to the Supreme Lord, who was pleased to appear before him. Right? Hams Guhya prayers. So these prayers were not composed by Prajapati Daksha. These prayers existed already. These prayers have been given in the Vedic literature. Right? And Daksha Prajapati, he repeated those prayers. It's equally glorious. One recites prayer of other, some bona fide prayers, some heartfelt prayer of other devotees, the same as, you know, offering or composing one's prayer and reciting. Or in some cases it may be even better for, you know, to recite the prayer offered by other devotees or some proper authority. So these are also very enlightening prayers. Text 22. Sorry? 22nd we didn't do yesterday. The 22nd just say he offered those prayers. Atoshidham sa guhyena Bhagavantam madhokshajam Tubhyam tad abhidhyasyami कस्या तुष्याद यथा हरिः These Hamsa Guhya prayers are from text 23 to 34, 12 verses. Shri Prajapatir Uvacha Nama Paraya Vitathanubhutaye Guna Traya Bhasa Nimitta Bandhave अदृष्ट धामने गुण तत्व बुद्धिभिर निवृत्त मानाय ददे स्वयं भुवे
प्रजापति दक्ष सेड द सुप्रीम पर्सन गॉडहेड इज ट्रांसेंडेंट टू लेजेंडरी एनर्जी एंड द फिजिकल कैटेगरीज इट प्रोड्यूसेस ही पजेसेस द पोटेंशियल फॉर अनफेलिंग नॉलेज एंड सुप्रीम विल पावर एंड ही इज द कंट्रोलर ऑफ ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज एंड द इलेजेंडरी एनर्जी The conditioned souls who have accepted the material manifestation as everything cannot see him, for he is above the evidence of experimental knowledge. Self-evident and self-sufficient, he is not caused by any superior cause. Let me offer my two obeisances to him.
Okay, so So Nama, he offers his obeisances to Paraya. Paraya here refers to onto the person who is onto the transcendence. Transcendence means a person who is superior to Jiva, to both the Shaktis, Paraya, to the Maya Shakti and to the Jiva Shakti. Jiva is Tathastha Shakti, right? So, Paraya, you are transcendence. You know? Transcendence means above both Maya and Jiva Shakti. Or any other products of Maya. Basically, this you are above these two. How is that? You can be, you have your own true perception. Abhithan Ubhutaye. Right? There is a correct perception of you. There is a spiritual realization. Right? who can be realized spiritually, right? So God is not a vague concept. That is the point actually. You know, many people think yes, He is there, but you know, there is no. It's only a vague understanding. Many times people have. No, so there can be the Supreme Lord has His correct spiritual perception. One can realize Him. Avithanu bhutaye. Then, He is gunatrayabhas nimitta bandhave. He is the gunatrayabhas nimitta bandhave. Gunatraya refers to the three modes of material nature. Abhas of the living entities who are under the three modes of material nature, and Nimitta refers to the material nature itself. Right? So you are the instigator of Jiva and Maya. Instigator means it is you who set their actions in motion. Gunatraya bhasa nimitta bandhave. And He has a form which is unseen. Adrishta dhamne. Right? He has a form which is unseen by those jivas who think that the sense objects are real. Adrishta dhamne guna tattva buddhi bhir. Those whose intelligence is absorbed in, right? Or those whose intelligence is contaminated by the three modes of material nature, right? They cannot see the Lord. Adrishta dhamne. Your form cannot be seen by those. However, and Adrishta dhamne guna tattva buddhivir navritta manaya. Navritta manaya is referred to that your form cannot be measured. Navritta manaya. Prabhupada says, whose form surpasses all material measurements and calculations. Dade soyam bhuve. Right? Therefore, I offer obeisances. Nava combined with Dadhe Swayam Bhuve. I offer my obeisances to such a Lord who is self-manifest, right? Who has no cause, Swayam Bhuve. Right? Swayambhu, we use the word term for whom all? For the Lord. For Lord Brahma also, right? Swayambhu. The Dwadash Mahajanas, first is Swayambhu. Swayambhu that Swayambhu is Lord Brahma. Swayambhu. Then Yamaraj is also Swayambhu. For Yamaraj also Swayambhu is used. Right? So those who are self-manifest or they have no material cause, you know, they are all Swayambhu. So many deities we call there are Swayambhu Murtis, you know. Right? We say, so like that. So therefore, the Tattva of the Lord is explained very nicely over here. So Nivritta Manaya, explaining the term Nivritta Manaya in the fourth line, Vishwanath Thakur has given this verse from Lord Brahma's prayer. We'll recite this verse. If you have in front of you, Gunatmanaste api gunan vimatum hitavatirnasya ka ishrayasya kalena yerva vimitasu kalper bhupam shavake mihika dyubhasha. He said, in time, learned philosophers or scientists might be able to count all the atoms of the earth, the particles of snow, or perhaps even the shining molecules radiating from the sun. You know, once Radhavallu Prabhu, he asked me to speak in BARC. You know, he does program regularly. You are attending his program, BARC. So then I recorded this shloka and I added that in due course of the time, the scientists of BRC will be able to count the items of the earth. You know, so they were very inspired. I said, surely, you know, all the scientists will be able to count the atoms of the earth and the particles of snow and the molecules within the sun, radiating from the sun, right? But surely you all won't be able to count the transcendental qualities of the Lord, right? Because that is beyond the power of any material measurements. That is nivrittamanaya, is beyond all material measurements and calculations. Right? So Prabhupada also gives this verse explaining nivrittamanaya. Panthastu koti shata vatsara sampragamayo vayo rathapi manaso munipangavanam. Sopyasti prabhadisimne vichinta tatve govindamadi purusham tamaham vadhami. Right? So this even if they try for billions of years, right, through their mental speculative process, traveling at the speed of mind, means working at very fast pace, you know, with all the supercomputer like mind, they try to ascertain the extent of glories of Krishna for billions of years, right? Still they won't be able to reach, because it's avichinte, it is beyond material measurements, right? So these two verses, one quoted by Prabhupada here, and this they explain this term nivrittamanaya. Lord is beyond our measurement. Right? So therefore many times we can't even understand that how the Lord acts is very inconceivable. Right? Even in the life of the devotees, how the Lord acts is sometimes very inconceivable. Right? So it is very difficult, or say it's impossible to know Krishna, right? Or no one can know Krishna, actually. No one can know Krishna, right? Because he remains inconceivable, right? But although no one can know him, anyone can surrender to him, right? And then Krishna reveals himself to a different extent to every living entity, right? So although he's so great that no one can know him, but anyone can actually approach him, right? That means anyone can surrender to him. So that is Krishna's special quality. So then Krishna reveals to whatever extent, right? But he said that even Krishna cannot find the limit of his qualities. Hey, what is this now? Nivrittamanaya applies to Krishna also. No one can find the extent of his qualities. Even Krishna also. How is that? Huh? Quality will increase. So he will find, but then not find. So it will be like finding, not finding. Is it like that? Anyone else? No, Krishna cannot find the extent of his quality. This is Many places it is described like that. The sky cannot understand his limit. Similarly, even the Lord cannot understand the extent of his qualities. Even Krishna doesn't know the extent of his qualities. Ever increasing. Yes, actually, there is a right answer. There, even no one can find the extent of Krishna's quality, or because that extent doesn't exist. Like something which is ever increasing, then the limit doesn't exist. You got the point? So no one can find the limit of his Krishna's quality, because that limit doesn't exist. It is ever increasing. Where will you find the limit? You know, it's ever increasing. Or that limit doesn't exist. It's unlimited. Unlimited qualities. How will you find the limit of something which is unlimited? It's unlimited. So that way, you know, we understand. Even therefore, he said, even Krishna cannot find the limit of his qualities. Because it's unlimited. The limit doesn't exist only. Krishna is not limited. So where is the question of finding the limit of his qualities? You know, unending. Ever increasing. So therefore, the qualities are unending, ever increasing. But according to one's capacity, one can describe a little bit about Krishna. Right? And if there is a devotion, Krishna is pleased. Right? Like that. Akasha ananta tate yaishe pakshigan. Yarashati Shakti Tat Kare Yarohan. He said Akash is Ananta, unlimited. You gave the example of the sky. Sky is unlimited. And a bird can fly according to his strength and capacity. Right? A bird can go higher, higher. Up to what? According to your capacity. So different devotees, this example is given. They glorify the Lord to different according to their capacity, according to their strength. Right? But it is unlimited. No one can find the limit, you know. Just like a bird cannot find the limit, but cannot find the limit of the sky. Although in this material world everything is limited, right? But still, in our example, no bird can actually say that I found the limit of the sky. It can just fly according to the strength. So it helps us to understand this point. Right? Okay, we go to text 24. Nayasya sakyam purusho avaiti sakyu. Kam purusho avaiti sakha vasansam vasata puresmin. Guno yatha gunino vyakta drishtes. Tasmai Maheshaya Namaskaromi.
As the three circuits, form, taste, touch, smell and sound, cannot understand how the senses perceive them. So the conditioned soul, although residing in body along with the super soul, cannot understand how the supreme spiritual person, the master of total creation, directs his senses. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the supreme person who is the supreme controller.
Okay, so now this verse elaborates on the unseen form of the Lord, which is the Lord within the heart, right? So The living entity, the jiva, right? Na yasya sakhyum purusho avaiti. Na avaiti means doesn't know. The jiva doesn't know the Lord as his friend, right? The person who actually allows his senses to operate is mentioned. It is the Supreme Lord who is allowing his senses to operate, but he doesn't know. Example is given. Just like the sense objects, right? Just like the sense objects do not perceive the senses or cannot understand the senses who perceives them. So many times in this world, the sense objects do not know the power of the senses to experience them. Right? Just like Rasgulla doesn't know how the tongue tastes the Rasgulla. Rasgulla doesn't know how the tongue tastes the Rasgulla, is it not? If the Rasgulla has to know his own sweetness, he has to come in the form of a devotee, you know. The devotees get many, a lot of Mahaprasad to eat. You know. So, the sense object doesn't know the power of the senses to perceive or enjoy the objects. Right? Similarly, the jiva who acts in various ways, jiva can't recognize that the super soul who is like his friend, and because of his mercy only the jiva gets the sense of perception, right? So just like another example, if you see here, Vishwanath Thakur says, yeah, the jiva doesn't know the Lord who is the friend within the body who allows the jiva to manifest knowledge. So jiva manifests knowledge in this world being empowered by the Supreme Lord. So jiva doesn't know the Supreme Lord who allows him to manifest knowledge. Right? Just like you see that even a newborn calf, he is not given any seminar how to suck milk. Right? Even the newborn calf knows how to suck milk. It manifests the knowledge. And who has given the calf that here is the milk and how to suck and how to enjoy, right? So that knowledge with the jiva manifests actually in every sphere of life is actually given by the Supreme Lord. By the knowledge given by the Supreme Lord, the jiva manifests that knowledge being given by the Supreme Lord, but doesn't know the Supreme Lord. So this doesn't know feature is explained by how the sense objects also, they do not know, right? The experience of the senses. Right? The sense objects do not know the revealing power of the senses. The senses reveal the sense objects. The revealing power of the senses. So anyway, basically, it is the Supreme Lord who reveals the living entity that how he can engage his senses to actually enjoy sense objects. Right? But the living entity do not understand. But it is the Supreme Lord who gives that facility. That's the simple basic point. So Prabhupada also gives one example. He says an example can be given. Prabhupada says in the first paragraph, before he quotes a verse. Another example given is that although ordinary citizens work under the direction of the government, they cannot understand how they are being governed or what the government is. Okay? So they may not fully understand how everything, all the organization that goes behind. And Prabhupada quotes Madhvacharya, as the various servants in the different departments of big establishment cannot see the supreme managing director under whom they are working, the conditioned soul cannot see the supreme friend sitting within their bodies. Okay. Yeah, many times, you know, especially the ordinary workers in a big establishment, they only know their immediate authority, right? They may not know the supreme authority, you know, who may have multiple branches, etc. He may only just come once in few years or something like that, right? So like that, the living entity do not know the Supreme Lord. That point is being said over here. Because even Pingala has said, you know, so ironical that we do not know someone who is closest to us. You know, we are people everywhere, they are trying to know, you know, far, far off truths, you know. People try to know very, they do deep research, everything. But how ironical it is that people do not know the person who is closest to them and who is giving the living entity the power to know. Whatever the living entity has power to know anything, that is coming from the Supreme Lord. But the jiva doesn't know this, the closest person who gives the power to the living entity to know, to perceive. Right? Like that. This we did 24th we covered, na? So 25th verse. We covered 24th we just covered, right? So 25th. Deho svavaksha manavabhuta matram. Atma namanyam cha vidu param yas. Saravam puman veda gunam satatkyo. Na veda sarvagyam anantamide. So, he's saying, Deha, Asavo, life air, Aksha, the different senses, Manava, the mind, right, or intellect and ego also, Manava, the five Bhutamatram, the five gross elements and the sense objects, because they are matter, they cannot understand Atmanam and Anyam. See the second line of the verse. So the first line describes various gross manifestation of matter, right? Gross and subtle. Deho suaksha manavo bhutamatram Atmanam Anyam cha vidu param yat. Now is applied in the fourth line. They can't understand either themselves or others. They can't understand about themselves, anything about themselves, anything about their cause. Okay, so that is that Prajapati is saying. However, the living being knows about all this matter, right? And he can also know about the Supreme Lord, but he doesn't know. However, the Supreme Lord is Sarvajnam. He knows everything about Atmanam and Anyam. Okay, so basically he's saying that actually the matter, all these products of gross and subtle products of material energy, they can't know themselves or their cause. The Supreme, the living entity knows about all these manifestation of matter and it can know about the cause, the Paramatma, but it doesn't know. And the Supreme Lord, he knows everything. That is basically being said in this verse. Right? So these are quite technical, you know, philosophical verses. Right? So, okay, so I have to ask some questions to keep you all awake. Got these verses by, you know, Hamsa Guhya prayers. Right? Will otherwise remain very Guhya to you. You all will. All have a nice sleep. Prasadam also, you know. The next prasadam is 4:30, so you have to take a good amount, you know. So, and then good sleep also. Yeah. So, how is that the living entity can know the Supreme Lord, but it doesn't know? Why does this living entity doesn't know the Lord? Why it is said that he doesn't know the Supreme Lord? Okay.
One is that like a government scenario, one does not know the topmost person. So
okay, the previous analogy is the that example showed he doesn't know many times, the living entity ignorance. Now the question is, why the living entity doesn't know? Why the living entity doesn't know the Supreme Lord?
Because he wants to enjoy independence from the Lord. Lord uses forget for the rest of the
world. Okay.
So he cannot
know,
though
he's very
close to him.
Okay. Beyond material perception, right? Yes, the fact that no one knows the Lord also many times applies that no one can know the Lord completely. When some certain statements are made, that no one can know the Lord. One thing is, you do not want to know the Lord. You know, Jeev is bhairmukh. Jeev has turned his face away from Krishna. So if you turn your face away from someone, right? Then you means you do not want to know him. Right? If you are turning your back towards someone, it's like some person is coming, you know, but immediately you don't want to be seen. You want to turn your back away from somebody. You don't want to know him. So living entity has turned his back. Right? And so therefore the living entity doesn't want to know him. Second thing is, he can't be known fully, therefore no one can know him. No one can know him because he can't be known fully by anyone. said no one can know Krishna means no one can know him fully. But anyone can surrender to Krishna. That is possible to have full surrender to Krishna. But no one can know Krishna fully. Right? So like that. So the living entities, although he can know the Supreme Lord, but he doesn't know because he's Bahirmukh, one reason. Second reason is the Lord can't be known fully. Therefore, no one can know the Supreme Lord. So, Vishwanatha Thakur has quoted this verse from 87 chapter in this context. Some of you have that in front of you? No, most of you. How many people you have Vishwanatha Thakur in front of you? 5 or 6 people. Okay, fine. So he. I'll just read the translation of the verse 10:87:41. My Lord, you are unlimited, and no one has estimated the extent of your potencies. I think that even you do not know the range of your potential energies. Unlimited planets float in the sky just like item, and great Vedantis who are engaged in research to find you discover that everything is different from you. Thus they finally decide that you are everything. Right? So basically this point means that you are so unlimited, no one can know you fully. Let me just discuss. Okay, we go to text 26.
यदो परामो मनसो नाम रूपा रूपस्य दृष्टा स्मृति सम प्रमोषात् यायते केवलया सुसंस्थया हंसायतस्मै सूचि सद्मने नमः.
Okay, so okay, so here in this prayer says that actually when the mind is purified from his when the mind, who actually is always defining various material names and the forms, when the mind becomes pure and all the material names and forms are gone away, just like as in a samadhi it is said, right, then a person can perceive you, right? When everything material has been negated, because the scripture says that, right? When a person is everything material, one gets free from everything material, then he can perceive you as the spiritual substance. Right? So Vishwanatha Thakur is saying basically this prayer that I offer my respects to the pure Lord, perceived by the pure mind, who is perceived as impersonal when the mind which defines names and forms enters samadhi because of complete destruction of seeing and remembering material objects. When all the material impressions, the names, forms of the material objects are destroyed, then one can perceive the Lord as that impersonal spiritual truth. Right? So the negation of the matter, that's what is the Shrutis. You know, many of the Shrutis, they aim at removing everything material. At the end, whatever remains is that Supreme Lord. Right? So like that. So that is that approach is there of the those who follow the this particular process. So here Prabhupada quotes, and the Acharyas have described, that there are two stages of God realization. One is called Sugeyam, or very easily understood by mental speculation, and the other is Durgeyam, understood with great difficulty, which is the Bhagavan realization. Are you still awake? So this verse, purport is saying, if you see purport, there are two stages of God realization. One is very easily understood by the process of mental speculation, that negate everything material, what remains is the spiritual, impersonal aspect. That is described as Sugyam, easily understood. And the Bhagavan realization is very difficult to understand. That is Durgeyam. But we have, but at the other side it said, oh, Klesha Dhiktarasya Sham, Avyakta Sakta Chedasam, those who strive for impersonal realization, they undergo a lot of tribulation. And Krishna says, Bhaktyama Abhijanati, Bhakti se to mere ko turun jaan lete sab log. So then how do we understand this point? Durgeyam and Sugeyam. You think by Gyan, it's you can be understood easily, this mark. But to, very difficult to understand your personal.
Yes, because to progress this path, one has to surrender first of all. To surrender itself is not easy thing.
Okay.
Sugeyam means because it's on its one sense. Do not accept God or surrender to God.
Okay. Durgeyam means you're saying by surrender is a difficult thing. By surrendering only one can understand. Okay. Any other? Bhagavan is Durgeyam. Yes. 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 Siddhe, Yatadam Abhi Siddhanam.
You mention again for the devotees. Among the many try to understand, but very few. And after that, knowing me, very few will try to understand for
it. So, like this. See, whenever you have to understand one important thing, whenever any statement is made, it should not be understood as an absolute statement. Whenever any statement is made, he said, you have to understand in what context is the statement made. You know? So just like he said, the Shruti made the statement that Supreme is beyond the power of mind to understand. Okay? But there are other Shruti says that the mind can actually perceive the Supreme Lord. So the statement of the scriptures, most of the statements, they are not applicable in all the various ways at all the times under all circumstances. They're not absolute statement. You got the point? So therefore, when it is said that the Supreme Lord is beyond the power of mind to perceive. Yes? It's beyond the power of the mind to perceive, beyond, because mind has limited power. But if the Supreme Lord wants to reveal, then he can give the mind the necessary power to perceive him. So to say that mind can never perceive will be absolute statement, in no way. No, that is not the case. So therefore, all the many times this contradictory statement, you have to understand what is the, it's not an absolute statement. So he said, it's a durgayam. The Lord is easily attained by mental speculation and difficult. Bhagavan realization is difficult. Bhagavan realization is difficult, and this impersonal realization is easy. This verse is by the process of jnana. Okay, so therefore you have to understand in what context the statement is made. It's not an absolute statement. In the process of jnana marg, the jnanis can never reach, by this process they can never reach the personal realization of Krishna. By the process of jnana. Ultimately, when the jnanis get the mercy or the association of devotees, then they get the, when they get with bhakti, the jnanis will be able to perceive. But by the jnana process alone, Bhagavan realization is durgayam, impossible. But yes, they can, sugyam means relatively. But when we see the path of bhakti, then Bhagavan realization is not durgayam. It becomes sugyam. And impersonal realization in that term is durgayam, because there is much more effort. So compared to the effort of realization of God in bhakti, there is klesh asik in the impersonal understanding. They have to put so much more effort. And there is insecurity, and there is a chance of falling down. And of course, many things. Okay? So, what this statement, what is the path you are talking of? You know, is durgayam. Achha, kaun sa raste ki baat kar rahe hai? To bole, bahut dur hai. Achha, kaise jaoge pehle ye to batao, means, so there are some other, you know, if someone says, oh, that is very far, hey, the shortcut, you don't know, you know. You are saying it's very far because in terms of this particular path. So here, in terms of the path of jnana marg, the impersonal realization is sugyam and the Bhagavan realization is durgayam. But opposite true for bhakti marg. So therefore, manushya naam sahasreshu kaschid yatri siddhe, those who take this path of jnana marg, in ascending process, those who want to realize Krishna depending on the power of their own mind and intelligence, is very difficult, Bhagavan realization. But those who depend upon Krishna mercy and those who serve him, then sugyam, Krishna reveals. When Krishna wants, what is difficult then? Right? Then it becomes sugyam. So, Prabhupada quotes this word, Athashi Krishna Namadi, second paragraph. Na bhaved grahyam indriye. Right? So this one verse talks of Athashi Krishna Namadi na bhaved grahyam indriye. He says, durgayam Krishna. No one can understand Krishna's name, etc., by one's power of one's senses. However, the second line of the verse says, he is sugyam. Sevan mukhe hi jivado, swe eva svurte yada. When the living entity serves, the Lord reveals, it becomes sugyam. So one verse itself reveals both the aspects. Right? So it depends upon the process one takes, whether the Lord is durgayam or sugyam, depends upon the process. On the path of bhakti is said, if one tries to understand by one's own endeavor, that is not itself the path of bhakti, but someone is a devotee, but he tries to understand the Lord by his own power, of his own mind and intellect, right? Then the Lord remains durgayam. But if he cultivates an attitude of service and depend upon the Lord, then the Lord is Sugyam. Right? So it's a fact actually. So therefore, when we study Srimad Bhagavatam or any Vedic literature, we should have this mood that with a prayerful mood that if the Lord, if you are merciful, please reveal this tattva, right? This knowledge, the realization which is contained here, right? I am only making an attempt, but I can't understand, right? But if you reveal, it will be understood by me. So therefore, a devotee should try to understand Bhagavatam in this way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Devanand Pandit that if you understand that you cannot understand and one iota of Bhagavatam, if you think you are a scholar of Bhagavatam, you have not understood a particle of Bhagavatam. Mahaprabhu tells him, you know, you think you are a scholar of Bhagavatam, you have not understood one particle of the Bhagavatam, iota of Bhagavatam is not understood by you. But if you understand that you cannot understand Bhagavatam at all, by your, now that statement implies by your own power of your own intellect and the mind, then you have understood the right way of understanding Bhagavatam and the Bhagavatam will reveal. So in that state of mind, Bhagavatam will reveal, which is non-different from Krishna. So therefore, Durgayam and Sugayam. Therefore, we have to understand in this context. Go to text 27-28. Another thing, even for, you know, not speaking from the context of Gyan Mark, the Lord is Sugyam because, you know, you say he is impersonal, there are no qualities, he performs no work. You know, he is impersonal. He has no responsibilities. If there is nothing, then what do you have to understand about him, you know? He doesn't do anything, doesn't have any qualities, you know. Then what do you have to understand? So Sugyam, you know, in that sense, is because then most of the people, he said, Bhagavan, you know, he cannot be perceived, cannot be understood, cannot be known, this. So then what is there to understand about him, you know, if we make everything with impersonal, so most of the people believe that, you know, then they don't have to scratch their head about, you know, oh, Krishna acts like this, what quality is manifesting, how he creates, and you mean he's impersonal, so people find it easy to comprehend, Sugyam. Many people, therefore most of the people have this impersonal conception, but to understand the Supreme Lord has qualities, you know, because in this world any form means trouble, problem, you know, you have any good quality, then there will be people envious of you, it will again invite trouble, or that quality will be diminished in due course of time, it will not remain, it will change, like so many things, you know. So therefore, to understand the Supreme, the cause of everything, can be a person with all qualities, who performs various pastimes, he acts in various ways, he reciprocates, right? He has a form. It's very Durgayam for people, right? But if you negate everything, to samajhne ki baat hai kya fir to, you know? To Sugyam apne aap hi ho gaya, sab kuch to, you know? So from that angle, from the gyanis, sab deny kar dete hain. You know, so then it becomes Sugyam for them. Yes. So like that. So from various, from what approach, what is the approach of the people? You know, then we understand Durgayam and Sugyam. You know, in the path of bhakti also Durgayam and Sugyam, we just approach. The path of jnana also Durgayam and Sugyam. So, therefore, we understand in this way. Okay, text 27 and 28.
Manishino antar ridhi sannivesitam.
Manishino antar
स्वशक्तिभिर् नवभिस्ति नवभिश्चत्रिवृद्धि नवभिश्चत्रिवृद्धि वह्निं यथा दारुणि पञ्चदश्यम् मनीषया निष्कर्षन्ति गूढम् सवैमेषा विशेषमाया निषेध निर्वाण सखानुभूतिः स सर्वनामा स सविश्वरूपा प्रसीदतामन् अनिरुक्तात्मशक्ति
One actually attains such liberation when he engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord and realizes the Lord because of his attitude of service. The Lord may be addressed by various spiritual names which are inconceivable to material senses. When will that Supreme Person of Godhead be pleased with me?
Okay, so so basically, this says that the various expert brahmanas can manifest the fire from within the wood. Right, just like the very expert brahmanas can manifest fire from within the wood by chanting various there are 15 samidheni mantras. Right, mantras are given where the fire can be ignited. Similarly, the pure devotees can also perceive the personality of Godhead within their hearts. Right. So basically, that is being said over here, and the other many other details are given. Right. So previous. Verse had described the impersonal form of the Lord, right? That is easily realized by those who are on the Gyan Marg, you know. Or they, after they negate everything material, they can perceive the impersonal form of the Lord, which is Sugyam for them. But now this verse describes the form of the Lord with the qualities. Right? The form of the Lord, that was a nirguna form, now sarguna form of the Lord is being described in this verse. Right? So the pure devotees referred to as Manishina, the very first verse, by the process of bhakti can extract the Lord who has entered the body. Right? Just like the expert brahmanas can extract the fire. by chanting various mantras. Right? So by chanting the holy names of the Lord, right? We know that expert Brahmana chants various mantras and they extract the fire from within the wood. But the devotees can chant the holy name of the Lord, which is, we learned yesterday, is the essence of all mantras. Anyone who remembers the verse, that holy name is the essence of all the mantras. Yesterday we learned one verse from CC. Yes. Kali Kale. A mantra sarva shar. Sarva shar. You have confused, you have brought sarva words. Many. Yes. Yes. Sarva mantra sar naam. A shastra marm. Okay, so by the essence of all the mantras, sarva mantra sar naam, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, the devotee can actually, Vishnu Thakur says, can extract the Supreme Lord who is hidden within the heart, just like the fire is hidden within the wood. So devotees will extract the Supreme Lord from within their heart by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. So, and he quotes this verse from second canto. Pravishta kandarandrena swanam bhavasaruruham tanoti shambalam Krishna. Krishna entering the lotus of the heart through the ears of the devotee washes away all contamination until it is completely pure like the pool of water in the autumn season. Pool of the water is muddy in the rainy season. That you will said in the 10th canto, you know. But in autumn season, it becomes clear. It becomes clear. How does it become clear? In the autumn season.
Huh? Yeah,
much the mud settles down. Many things are purified just by in course of time. Actually, you know, just in course of time. A person may have some wound in the body, person may be coming out. In due course of time, it will be healed, you know. There's many, so this is the pool of water is muddy, is impure, considered impure. Leave it, it's purified. There may be some dirty place. In due course of time, the sun will purify. So many things are purified in due course of time. Like some place, so there are many purifying agents in this world. Time is one. You know, and association of devotees is another powerful purifying agent, right? One devotee was saying, you know, he was near chappal stand. He said, "Where is my chappal? Where is my chappal?" मैं बोला कोई तो पहन के गया होगा. अभी पता लगाता हूँ. आज प्यूरीफाई कर दूंगा उसको. So like that. So the Supreme Lord, by chanting his names, Supreme Lord enters the heart of the devotee through the ears. Right? When you chant the name and hear, the Supreme Lord enters the heart of the devotee and he purifies the heart. And the heart becomes like a pure, like a pond in the autumn season. That example is given. In the autumn season, pond of water which are muddy becomes pure. Right? You can at least observe a few things around. In the most of the people have not observed any natural phenomena. Like those who are, like those who live close to nature and those who observe some phenomena, you know, they can understand Bhagatam. They can relate something about Bhagatam. Right. So it's sometimes good to observe some natural phenomena.
like children in the cities, you know, like he was Vritrasura, we'll see in the future, says, you know, I am so eager, my Lord, to meet, just like the calf is eager to suck the milk. They have never seen any calf going to suck the milk of a cow. You know, you ask them where the milk comes from, they only know the milk comes from the store. Sometimes they don't even know that milk comes from the calf, you know, unless they're taught in the school, in the photo or something, you know. Otherwise, most of the people know the milk comes from the store. You know, so that means for them it becomes so difficult to relate to the knowledges of Bhagatam and try to understand Bhagatam. You know. And similarly, there is an example given somewhere. I said, my Lord, I want to be devotees are eager like a honeybee tasting the nectar of the flower. In city, there are no fragrant flowers. There are no honeybees eager to taste the nectar, you know. But if you see on certain flowers, there may be in the morning very fragrant, 8-10 honeybees very eager competing with each other, trying to suck the flower. Like someone who has seen this, he can a little bit understand, get the value of how, you know, the honeybees may be very eager, you know, they come to the flower, taste some nectar, the other honeybees come, it flies back, but it comes again, you know, there is a great eagerness, you know. So like that, can be seen at least people who live close to nature. But people who have never seen, they can't understand anything about it. Right? So therefore, nature teaches us many things. Many natural examples are given in the Bhagavatam. Right? So one can get a better understanding by close observation. Right? So therefore the devotees by the process of bhakti, primarily by chanting the holy name of the Lord, can extract the Lord who is within the heart. Right? And then it said, pulling the Lord from the heart, the devotees taste his sweetness and beauty by the eyes and other senses. They pull the Lord out along with his chit shakti. Right? The second line, if you say, Manishino antar hridi sanniveshitam so shakti bhir navabhish chatri vridbhi. Now this Prabhupada explains these shaktis as material shaktis. That how the heart is covered and they pull the Lord out. You know, they can understand, although the Lord is covered by the material shaktis, but the devotee can understand, right? The Supreme Lord is covered by his illusory potency, illusory shakti. Prabhupada explained in that terms. Both are, you know, if and then Vishnu Thakur explained that these shakti are spiritual shaktis. So in both terms you can understand. There can be right understanding in both the ways also. Right? That's the Sanskrit language, you know. So, but the conclusion should be right. So if you want to understand it now, the material shakti Prabhupada explains. Vishnu Thakur says the devotee extract the Lord along with his shaktis. And he lists what are the 9 shaktis, navabhis and 3 bhis. Right? So like that. So both explanations are given. Both are perfectly both are perfectly correct. Okay. So Prabhupada in the purport he gives the way to how the devotee try to understand the Supreme Lord, the process of the devotee. Prabhupada says, do you see the verse Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram? When a devotee is eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he prays to the Lord, Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram, Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavan Bhudo, Kripayatava Pada Pankaja, Siddhuli Sadirsham Vachintaya. O son of Nanda Maharaj, I am an eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean and place me as one of the items at a lotus feet. Being pleased with the devotee, the Lord turns all his material impediments into spiritual service. Very beautiful statement. So a devotee extracts the Lord means not his ability, although it is put in those words. It's always that the devotee
attracts the Lord, who reveals himself. Sometimes we put in one way, but we say devotee extracts the Lord. Actually, he attracts the Lord, you know. Therefore, he, by his devotional service, attracts the Lord who comes himself. So, but it can be said that the devotee extracts the Lord by his devotion. Right? So, in this way we understand. But this is a very beautiful statement. Being pleased with the devotee, the Lord turns all his material impediments into spiritual service. Actually, a jiva possesses no qualification to perceive the Lord. Because the jiva has unlimited sins, is contaminated, it is all covered over with material conceptions, right? So jiva actually has no power to perceive the Lord. Whatever the jiva has is simply an impediment on the path of devotional service. By one's own capacity, a jiva can only create misfortune. Sanklesh nikar akara, the word is used, that jiva is a mine of misfortune. Whatever jiva has, nothing but misfortune. What can jiva do on the path of bhakti? Only create impediments. But it is Krishna, being pleased with the devotee attempt, he turned all the material impediments into spiritual service. He allows the jiva, basically he turns the jiva's disqualification into qualification. Jiva has nothing but disqualification, materially contaminated. But Supreme Lord turns it into qualification. Right? He allows the jiva. How? The Lord has given various process, pravitti margo ke, you want to enjoy, but do like this. Do some offering to me. You know, he has prescribed some austerity, some charity, all the various things. Somehow, although jiva is fully, the Lord has mercifully given a process by which the jiva can serve him. Right? From the lowest most process to the highest process. Right? The jiva has a disqualification. Take for example, the jiva has the burning desire within the heart. Right? The passion. But somehow the spiritual master dovetails that passion in the service of the Lord. Right? Okay, you want to do something very great. Okay, so take up this project. Do something very great. You want to achieve something. Krishna doesn't want actually. It's not that Krishna wants great achievements from you. No. It is your disqualification. You want to greatly achieve something. Do something. Okay, fine. Do for Krishna. Krishna will accept. He has no need, but still he will accept. Like that. So, therefore, Krishna, by his mercy, he turns jiva's disqualification into qualification to serve him. His great mercy, actually. Right? So, spiritual master accomplishes that purpose by his good instruction. Right? And the Lord accepts that. He has no need of it. But he accepts. But he still accepts. Right? So, therefore, the jiva's the Lord turns all material impediments, because actually anything that is material is an impediment in Krishna service. Actually, this material body actually is an impediment, seeing from the spiritual perspective, to serve the Lord. Right? This material body poses so many impediments. Right? This material world poses so many impediments. Everything. But the Lord has given a process by which this very material body, using the material objects, can accomplish something spiritual, which is an impossible thing. It is the Lord's arrangement, actually. Otherwise, it would have been impossible completely. Right? It's the Lord's arrangement that he facilitates the jiva, which is with this material body, which is impediment on the spiritual path. This body is an impediment. Actually, all the material desires are an impediment. All the material objects are an impediment.
But the Lord gives a process by using everything material, still something spiritual can be accomplished. That process given by the Lord. That is His great mercy. Okay, we go to text 29. Yadyan niruktam vachasa nirupitam. Dhyakshibhirva manasotayasya. Mabhut sarupam gunarupam hitattat. Savai gunapaya visarga lakshana.
Anything expressed by material vibrations, anything affected by intelligence, and anything experienced by the material senses are concocted within the material mind is but an effect of a modes of material nature and therefore has nothing to do with the real nature of Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is beyond the creation of this material world, for He is the source of material qualities and creation. As the cause of all causes, He exists before the creation and after the creation. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him.
Okay, so we just discussed this very Siddhant. We discussed this point. So he is saying whatever is expressed by material vibration, perceived by material intelligence, everything is material, it's not you. Because everything in this world is under the modes of material nature. There was nothing to do with you, with your real nature. And you are beyond the material world. You are beyond the perception of material mind and senses. You are beyond the power of material words to be expressed. Right? So I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord who is beyond everything material. And so we discussed that how, yes, He is beyond everything material, beyond words, beyond intelligence, beyond mind. Right? That means everything material is a disqualification to understand Him. But He is very merciful. When the jiva approaches Him, He empowers the words to express Him. He purifies the mind. He spiritualizes the mind and intelligence to perceive Him. Right? When the devotee approaches Him. Everything material is otherwise an impediment. So that is basically expressed, which we just discussed in great detail. Someone can read this paragraph starting with Daksha, third paragraph. Daksha very carefully points out.
Daksha very carefully points out that material designation cannot be named for worshipable Lord. Yan niruktam vachasa nirupitam. Nirukta refers to the Vedic dictionary. One cannot properly understand the Supreme Personality of God only by picking up expression from a dictionary. In praying to the Lord, Daksha does not wish material names and forms to be the object of his worship. Rather, he wants to worship the Lord who existed before the creation of material dictionaries and names. As confirmed in the Vedas, Yato Vacho Nivartante Aprapya Mansasaha, the name, form, attributes and paraphernalia of Lord cannot be ascertained through a material dictionary. However, if one reaches the transcendental platform of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes well acquainted with everything, material and spiritual. This is confirmed in another Vedic mantra, Tamev Vidit Vati Mrityumeti. If one can somehow or other, by the grace of the Lord, understand the transcendental position of the Lord, one becomes eternal.
Yeah.
This is
fine.
Confirmed by the Lord.
Okay, so it is the grace of the Lord. If somehow or other by the grace of the Lord, you know, one can understand. By His grace one can understand, not by one's endeavor. Okay. So again, just want to remind you, when there is a statement that one cannot understand the Lord by one's mind, it has two meanings. One is, we just discussed, that by one's mind, own power, one cannot understand. What is the second meaning? No. One cannot understand.
Lord is unlimited.
Yes. So the statement remains true. If you say, oh, nahin, but aise nahin, aise, then the statement actually becomes false in that sense, you know. So therefore, even when there is a Lord mercy, you cannot fully understand him. You can only understand him as much as he reveals. So both understandings are there. Two understandings. One cannot perceive the Lord, because this statement comes so many times. He is beyond the power of the mind to understand, beyond the power of the intellect to, you know, beyond the power of words to be revealed. So many such statements. Beyond, right? One cannot understand him by anything material. Right? Not by their own power and not fully. These two, so always remember, understand in that context, always. Twofold understanding. Okay, so out of 12 we have covered 7 prayers. So now you can take a break. Okay, we'll continue. What? Oh, I don't know. This is just quoted. That is some part of the Vedic literature. Oh yeah, I think Vishwanath Thakur has said. Tatriya Upanishad. Rupat. Yeah, it will be as it is. He has just taken verses from there. These prayers are there, over there. Where do you read that? It's mentioned? Vedic literature prayer, basically. Okay. Not sure. They are considered part of the Vedas, Upanishads. Probably we'll have to find out. Vedic scholar. Chitana Charan proof maybe. No. He's saying this Hamsa Guhe prayer.
Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Text 30. Yasmin yato ye najayasya yasme.
Yadyo yatha kurute karite cha. Yatakurutaka Paravaresham Paramam Prak Prasiddham Tad Brahma Tad Dhetura Nanya Dekam. Therefore, offer my respects unto him.
So basically last verse is, he said that you are, your existence is beyond anything material, right? And he says, I offer my obeisance to the Supreme Lord who is beyond everything material. No material mind, senses, material words can actually perceive him or realize him. We'll discuss that. However, now this verse is saying, but whatever is perceivable also in this world is also Brahman, is also you. So how everything is Brahman is being said in this verse, right? So basically this verse employs seven grammatical cases to express that everything in relation with the Lord. There are seven cases of grammar applied. Yasmin, yato, yen, yasya, yasme, yad, yo. These are the seven. Basically saying in whom, from whom, by whom, unto whom, you know, and to whom everything belongs. So in this way, you see there are seven cases, you know, if there is any verb means like any activity, koi bhi, any action, right? Take example of any action. So that action can combine with seven verbs in grammar. It's a grammar. Right? Who is doing that, you know? Action. Oh, look. There is some action that has happened. Right? Then, where, within whom the action is performed, you know? What is the platform where the action is happening? Yasmin, kiske andar wo kare hua, action hua. Yato, from where did the action arose first of all? You know? Yato, yena, who performed it? Yasya, kiska kare hai, whom that action belongs to? Yasya. That is his. So basically, and then yasme means for whom this is done. Right? And then yad, for what purpose? And yo means who did that? You know, so in this way, like every verb will have seven grammatical cases. Within whom, by whom, from whom, of, you know. Like you can find out Sanskrit verses from Bhagavatam which will employ. Yasme datum choriyan chin bhandum. Yasme datum. There is chori hui. Acha chori hui. To kiske liye? Yasme datum. Unko. You know, yasme datum choriyan. The Lord stole the pot of sweet rice. You know, the stealing is commanded with yasme datum. Acha, to give to devotee. So if you find yasya, the word, you see the very first line, yasmin, yato, yen, yasya, yasme, you find some verse to understand it. Yasya prasadad, his mercy. The mercy belongs to him. It's in the sense of a belonging. Then yasme, to whom, for whom that action is meant. Any particular action that happened, whether it is giving mercy, receiving something, cooking, whatever, you know, anything, any particular action, you know, cooking, where is the cooking happening? Kiske bhitar ho raha hai, yasmin, that is within the kitchen, the answer will be, you know, yasmin, yeah. So, yasmin in the sense of in whom, in whom, unke bhitar basically, in the, within Supreme Lord, this, within whom everything rests, right? So like that. So you will find, you can understand from different verses, these seven grammatical cases. And all the basically said that everything is yours, is within you, have come from you, and is supposed to be offered to you. It belongs to you, you know, and you are everything, you know. It's come from you, it is you, it is meant for you, you know. So like that, there are seven grammatical cases which you can understand. It's a little technical. Basically saying that although you are separate from material, I offer obeisance to Lord who is beyond everything material, but everything material is also your form. For everything is Brahman. Because Brahman is the cause of everything, so therefore everything is Brahman. Everything is you alone. Right? We have studied this point many times. So here the seven grammatical cases have been used in this particular verse. Right? There is a verse by King Kulshekhar where he uses seven grammatical cases along with the name of Krishna. What is that verse? How it begins with? I just didn't realize. Yes. Krishno rakshati no jagatraya guru. Krishnam na madham sada. So count where the name of Krishna comes and something is applied with the name of Krishna. Krishno rakshatu no jagatraya guru. Krishnam na madham sada. Krishne na akhil shatravo vinihita. Krishnaya tasmay nama. Krishna deva samuttitam jagadidam. Krishnasya dasosmeham. Krishne tishthati vishvaveta dakhilam. He Krishna rakshasvama. Right, so there are seven. All the grammatical cases are applied with the name of Krishna. Krishno, Krishnaya, Krishna. Right, Krishnasya, so like that. So you see the seven words, all seven grammatical cases, you'll find this verse in Mukundamala Stotra. It's a verse in Mukundamala Stotra. So the all the seven, so to understand grammar, you know, you can see in relation with Krishna. You know, so all the, so in this way, you can map which is what, you know, that name with the Yasya Yato Yen and do some mapping and some other verses and you can get some understanding of how each verb can have a seven grammatical cases. No, I do not vibhaktis. Yeah. Like that. So basically then you come to the conclusion that everything is actually Krishna, nothing else. So in detail analysis. Right? So Vishnu Thakur says, all of this is Brahman. Said why? Because he is the cause of all of them. Tad Brahma. Let's see for the last line. After the second last line says of the verse, first apply the seven cases. Paravaresham paramam prak prasiddham. Just see that there is the alliteration. All the words start with P, you know, the P is applied. Paravaresham paramam prak prasiddham. That you are the supreme cause of para and avara, whatever is existing. You are the supreme cause, paramam, prak prasiddham. Right? So you are the supreme cause ever existing of all lower and higher causes. Tad brahm, and everything is Brahman because tad hetur, everything comes from you. Right? Since everything comes from you, therefore everything is Brahman. So that point is explained in this verse. So Prabhupada says, if the material world were not part of his body, the Supreme Lord, then the supreme cause would be incomplete. That you are the complete whole means this material world has also to be part of you. But it is separate from you because it is not your sarupa. it comes from your energies only. Right? It is not your sarupa. This material world has not arisen from your sarupa shaktis. It has arisen from your external energies. But it's within you still, like that. Okay, we go to text 31. Yashaktayo vadatam vadinam vai.
Yashaktayo vadatam vadinam
vai. Vivadasamvad bhuvo bhavanti.
Vivadasamvad bhuvo bhavanti.
Kurvanti chesham muhuratma moham.
Kurvanti chesham muhuratma moham.
Tasmai namo nanda gunaya bhumne.
Within the course of the heart of the all philosophers who propagate various views, he causes them to forget their own souls while sometimes agreeing and sometimes disagreeing among themselves. Thus he creates within this material world a situation in which they are unable to come to conclusion. I offer my obeisances unto him.
Okay, so it's saying that in this world, this verse is quoted by Mahaprabhu also in the same context. He says, what is not possible for a person to do who has taken shelter of the Krishna's external energy means he can create such bewildering philosophies that the whole world can be bewildered. Yad Shakti, Bhagavan ki Shakti hai. There are such philosophies, deviant philosophies, you know, various kind of contradictory philosophies, and millions of people adhere to them. They believe them. Itna Shakti kahan se aaya? Arey, Bhagavan ki Maya, external Shakti ko kam powerful hai. Uski sharan leke, he said, what is impossible for a person to not do has taken shelter of Krishna's external energy? Means how much havoc can he not create? How much upsiddhant and how much, you know, he may create a big institution and have millions of followers taking shelter of Krishna's external energy. Krishna's external energy is so powerful. And they remain bewildered by him. You know? And what they can't do means in terms of creating havoc. They can create supreme havoc. How? Because Krishna's external energy is supreme. They have taken shelter of Krishna's energy only. Right? Yash Shaktayo. So he's saying, so the various philosophers, Vadatam, Vadinam, these philosophers are Vadinam, and they create various, the various philosophers create various philosophies, taking shelter of Krishna's external energy. And then they keep vada samvada, and then they keep arguing with each other, keep debating. And because they've taken shelter of Krishna's external energy and keep arguing, keep debating, they remain bewildered. They never come to know of Krishna's sarup shakti. Right? So there remains atma moham. As far as the spiritual truth is concerned, they remain bewildered by it. Right? So he says, I offer my obeisances, tasmai namo nant gunaya bhumne. O Lord, I offer my obeisances to you who are reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities. Because they do not accept your spiritual qualities, they remain perpetually bewildered and they bring out so many false proposition and philosophies, and then they keep arguing with each other, and then they remain bewildered. Right? So if you see like some great hero in this world, you know, who may have millions of fans, you know, and he said that once there was a towel of a great celebrity, you know, he stayed in one hotel. Eh? So many celebrities, many examples. You know, the towel which they use is cut to 1,000 pieces, one small piece, and the fans buy that one piece used by a towel of their celebrity for sometime $1,000, $2,000. Means lakhs of rupees they spend for buying one piece of towel used by a big celebrity. You know, so whatever the bed sheet, pillow cover will go for even much higher price. You know, and the sabun and everything like is auctioned, and sometime the rate goes to, you know, thousands and sometime hundreds of thousands of dollars for Mahaprasad. No? So he said, come on, what is this? Where is this coming from? He said, this is, I offer my business. The devotee should remember the Supreme Lord. Even if devotee sees people greatly bewildered, he said, I offer my business Supreme Lord, whose external energy is so powerful. It bewilders people to such an extent that they spend their life earning to buy a piece of towel. You know, there are people who do it, take a big loan to buy what? A piece of towel. They take credit. Said, my God, obeisance to the Supreme Lord. Whose external energy is so powerful, his bewildered condition so like this. So devotee always remember Supreme Lord. You know, it is his energy who is working. Is not? So therefore, when we see that, you know, there are so many people who strictly adhere to it, they vigorously preach all the deviant philosophies. Devotee should remember the Supreme Lord. You know, obeisance is unto the Lord whose external energy acts so wonderfully. You know, what can external energy not do in this world, you know? So like that. It's a beautiful verse. Devotee sees, even among all the supremely bewildering conditions, devotee offers obeisance to the Supreme Lord, knowing that it is his energy alone which has made this possible. Right? Like that. Vishnu Thakur says, the actions of Maya are the cause of disagreement and sometime agreement. Right? Vad, vivad and samvad. Vivad means arguments, vivad, you know. So therefore, the if you see the many time the Bhagavatam describes Krishna, like we just read last chapter where Sukadeva Goswami says, samvadam dutayo, the Yamya and Vishnu dutayo, samvadam. I am going to tell you the samvad of Vishnu dutas and Yam dutas. There is some agreement, there is some conclusion. Right? Vivad never reach any conclusion. Right? Samvad means where the right conclusion, there is a samvad. That means each person try to strengthen the point. That is samvad. Like I give one philosophical point and we try to understand there's a right point, that you don't try to oppose it with some other thing, but try to understand the same thing from another perspective, from another perspective. So if you see, what Vishnu Duta said is what Yamaraj also said. Here, you know, the same line Yamaraj explained. And the same conclusion Sukadev Goswami also gave toward the end. The samvad. While the philosophers only do vivad. Right? So there are, so, you know, there is a quotation which I read, you know, which earlier I liked it. You know, when I was a student, he said, the fools reach conclusion why the learned keeps debating. He said, the fools said, come to conclusion. I said, no. The learned keep debating. Let the debate be on, you know. So that is like, let the vivad always go on, you know. So that's like the Gyan Marg or whatever, you know, the Gyanis or the philosophers. Philosopher means if they come to conclusion, then their job is gone. You know, if said, okay, now we have all come to one conclusion, that means now nothing for you to do now. You know, that they will keep on debating. That is a philosopher. They propose one philosophy, new philosophy, third philosophy. Perpetually they will come out with a philosophy. So they cannot come on any conclusion, any, there cannot be samvad. There is only vivad. There is only debate among philosophers. If they come to conclusion, then they are no longer munis or whatever, you know. Munis, Prabhupada translated as many times philosophers. The devotees are muni, but they are different kind of munis, not ordinary munis. Stitudhir muni, you know, like that. A different term is used. So the both do the manan. You know, the muni means one who does manan. Both do the manan. The munis also, the devotees also, and the gyanis also, or the philosophers that we are saying. But one do the manan, how to refute. One do the manan, how to understand is better, further, how to strengthen the understanding. The difference between the two. Right? However, he is saying, most of the philosophers, they are always debating. And Prabhupada quotes this verse from Mahabharata. Tarko pratishtha ashutiyo vibhinna nasa vrishir yasya matam na bhinnam. All speculators must disagree, Prabhupada is saying. Agar disagree nahi karenge, to fir wo मुनि कैसे हुए या फिलोसोफर कैसे हुए यू नो इफ यू कैंट कम आउट विद हिज ओन फिलोसफी देयरफॉर ऑल स्पेकुलेटर मस्ट डिसएग्री प्रभुपाद सिंह विद अदर स्पेकुलेटर्स अदरवाइज व्हाई शुड देयर बी सो मेनी अपोजिंग पार्टीज कंसर्न्ड विद एसर्टेनिंग द सुप्रीम कॉज एंड देन प्रभुपाद ऑल्सो रेज अ क्वेश्चन इन द पर्पट दैट व्हाई देयर आर सो मेनी यू नो इफ द ट्रूथ इज वन Why so many philosophers and so many philosophies? ये truth तो एक ही है. फिर इतना philosopher, इतना philosophy, इतना वाद विवाद, ये सब क्यों? What is the reason for this? Right? So Prabhupada points out the reason. Prabhupada says all of these speculators. This is the second paragraph towards the end, right? Where Prabhupada quotes the verse from Bhagavad Gita, "Tanaham." Just before that. Prabhupada says, all of these philosophers are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of their denying the qualities of the Supreme Lord, because they deny the name of the Supreme Lord, due to the envy, therefore they keep proposing all these philosophies. That is the reason of existing so many deviant, the root cause, so many deviant philosophies. Go to text 32. Astiti nastiti cha vastu nishthayor ekasthyor bhinna viruddha dharmino avekshitam kinchana yoga sankhyo samam param hi anukulam brihattat.
The super soul finds the spiritual cause through mystic yoga. The Sankhyist, however, who merely analyzes the material elements, comes to a conclusion of impersonalism and does not accept the supreme cause, whether Bhagwan, Paramatma, or even Brahman. Instead, he is preoccupied with the superflux external activities of material nature. Ultimately, however, both parties demonstrate the absolute truth because although they offer opposite statements, their object is the same ultimate cause. They are both approaching the same Supreme Brahman to whom I offer my respectful obeisance.
So, अस्ति नास्ति आस्तिक मीन्स अस्ति इति है भगवान, अस्ति ना अस्ति नहीं है, नास्तिक मीन्स ना अस्ति इति, इज नॉट देयर, सुप्रीम कॉज इज नॉट देयर, और दिस इज नॉट द सुप्रीम कॉज, कृष्ण इज नॉट द भगवान, नास्तिक मटीरियल नेचर बेसिकली ना अस्ति, दिस इज नॉट द सुप्रीम कॉज, डिवोटी सेज भगवान इज द सुप्रीम कॉज, अस्ति इति हेयर इज द सुप्रीम कॉज, ना ना अस्ति इति, मटीरियल नेचर इज द सुप्रीम कॉज, दैट इज नास्तिक एंड आस्तिक, द टर्म कम्स फ्रॉम हेयर, राइट, च वस्तु निष्ठे और दैट सुप्रीम ट्रुथ, दैट सुप्रीम वस्तु, राइट, सो दे थिंक दिस इज दैट, नो नो दिस इज नॉट दैट, सो दे दे सो देयरफॉर एकस थ्योर ऑल्दो सुप्रीम कॉज इज वन बट भिन्न, देयर आर डिफरेंट ओपिनियंस, सुप्रीम कॉज इज वन बट देयर इज डिफरेंट ओपिनियन, व्हाई विरुद्ध धर्मिनो, बिकॉज दे टेक डिफरेंट कॉन्ट्राडिक्टरी अप्रोचेस, so basically one has to understand that the contradiction is not existing in supreme lord, contradiction is because of various perceptions, the contradiction is experienced because of taking various perceptions, the contradiction are within us in our perception of the absolute truth, but there are no contradiction in absolute truth, very important to understand, just like even we have experience, devotees say, you know, Prabhupada wanted this. Hey, Prabhupada wanted that. Prabhupada wanted this. Is there any contradiction in what Prabhupada wanted? There's no contradiction. What Prabhupada wanted is clear, you know, there is no contradiction. But our perception creates contradiction. You got the point? Our perception, our understanding, our process, the process which we take, we create contradiction. There are no contradiction in absolute truth. Shutyo vibhinna. We said, tarkyo, tarko, pratistha, shutyo vibhinna. Someone say, are, why you believe, you know, why do you blame these poor fellows? Scripture speaks in a contradictory way. Kabhi ye baat karte, kabhi wo baat karte hai. Aisa, aisa. Shutyo vibhinna. Shutyo vibhinna doesn't mean the scriptures have contradiction. Means your understanding of the scriptures, you are perceiving the contradiction. So therefore, scriptures have no contradiction. Right? Just like, if I say like this, right? You perceive a contradiction, but actually they are not conflicting. One is lower, one is higher. Scriptural principles are like this. Right? You perceive a contradiction here, there is a crossing, there is a contradiction, right? But actually there is no. One is higher, one is lower. So the contradiction is created by the people who approach the absolute truth, viruddha dharmina. Unke dharm mein contradiction hai. Right? Bhagwan mein contradiction nahi hai. Scripture mein contradiction nahi hai. You got the point? This is an important point actually. So, example is given. Avekshitam kinchan yog sankhyo. So, look, there is a path of yoga and there is a path of sankhya. The practitioners may debate with each other. But actually, they don't contradict. They don't contradict. So, it's explained how they do not contradict. The yoga establishes the Lord as what? Having qualities, aprakrit qualities. Aprakrit means beyond material, transcendental qualities. Okay, so there are qualities established in the scriptures, not transcendental qualities. The bhakti scriptures. The Sankhya scriptures negate all material qualities. And in this way they also establish the transcendental qualities. We negate the material. So there is no contradictions. But the practitioners, by their wrong perception, they create contradictions. And they keep, you know, fighting with each other. There are no contradictions in the absolute truth.
How do we understand that? Because in that previous book, it said that he creates the situation.
Yeah, they're taking shelter with external energy. They create contradiction under his external energy. Krishna's Maya Shakti. Maya means contradictions, illusory. Illusion, when a person is in illusion, there will be many contradictions. Right? In illusion, there are many contradictions. But truth is one. Because they taken shelter of Krishna's external energy, there are contradictions. Those who take shelter of Krishna's internal energy, they perceive the whole truth as one. There are no contradictions. Got it? Yeah, so all these things, you know, require a lot of manan also. You know, many things, when a person try to meditate upon this truth, and try to see where all different part of the scriptures, it has been said at different places. So by doing, you know, you may not have time now, because we are going at a fast pace. But usually, by thinking, by doing manan, you know, you get up, gradually you refine your understanding. The more you think about it, more you think any verse of Bhagavad Gita which talks about this, try to, you know, so that clears the understanding more. But in bullet form, we understand, then understanding can be gradually refined in one subsequent study and reading. But here you can note down the important points, right? And then refine it more and more, actually. Right? Okay, so we go to text 33. Yanugrartam bhajatam padamulam. Anam Rupo Bhagavan Ananta Namani Rupani Janma Karma Bhir Veje Samahiyam Parama Prasidatu. Okay, so you see in this prayer, the two opposing opinions or seemingly contradictory opinions are resolved in this one prayer. What we are discussing, where it says the Lord is saguna and another says Lord is nirguna. Right, so Daksha Prajapati quote the last prayer, says there is no contradiction. Both are establishing the supreme transcendence only. You know, we just discussed that. So here in this verse, in this prayer, both are reconciled. Anam Rupo Bhagavan Ananta. Oh, the Lord who has no name and form, Anam Rupo, A applies to Rupo also. A Nam and A Rupo basically. Bhagavan Ananta, he is unlimited Lord. Namani Rupani. First he said Anam Rupo. Then he has name and form and qualities which he manifests by his mercy, he is mentioned. So the Lord who is Anam Rupa has no material name and qualities. That means you can't, with your material senses, you cannot reach him. Right? Since there is no material name, form, qualities, you cannot understand him. But by his mercy, yo anugraha artham, by his mercy, he manifests his names and forms within this material world, which are all transcendental. And by his mercy, he empowers, spiritualizes the senses of a sadhaka, so that we can actually perceive something spiritual with material. Anugraha is the key point. It is His mercy. You got the point? Like that. Prabhupada quotes the case of Ajamil. Prabhupada said, simply by chanting the name of Narayan, he attained freedom from this material energy. Then how can the Lord's name be material? Right? The name of Lord Narayan is completely transcendental. So, again and again he is saying, may the Lord be pleased with me, may the Lord be pleased with me. Go to text 34. The last of the Hamsaguhya prayer. Yaha prakartair gyan pathair jananam. Yatashayam dehagato vibhati. Yathanila parthiva mamashrito gunam. Sa Ishvaro me kurutam manoratham.
Air carries various characteristics of physical elements, like aroma of flower or colors, resulting from a mixture of a dust in the air. The Lord appears to the lower systems of worship according to one's desire, although He appears as the demigods and not in His original form. What is the use of these other forms?
May the original Supreme Personality of Godhead please fulfill my desires. What is his desire? Sa Ishvaro me kurutam manoratham. Hey Bhagavan, aap mera manorath pura kijiye. What is his desire? He has a sex desire. As simple as that, you know. Yeah, but actually, anyone who has whatever desire, therefore Sukhdev Goswami says he should approach the Supreme Lord. Because he will fulfill the desire and also purify the desire. Right? So whatever manorath one may have, approach the Supreme Lord. And then gradually later one will understand that, what kind of nonsense desire expressed. You know, if the Supreme Lord fulfilled that desire, He will surely fulfill. Why will He not fulfill my desire to serve Him? Just imagine, if the Supreme Lord can fulfill desire of Daksha for sex, why will He not fulfill the desire of a devotee for service? How much more He will fulfill the desire which are meant for His service? Right? So one should have complete faith that if I approach the Supreme Lord with some desire to serve, He will surely fulfill it. There is no question He will not fulfill it. Right? So if again and again, in this number of places, may the Lord be pleased with me, may the Lord fulfill my desire. Right. And since he will engage his desire in the service of the Lord, that's also, fine, he has that, Lord will say, has that proclivity to have unlimited sex. So do it, and I want the, conditioned souls to get the material bodies for reformation. So therefore, let it be used for my service. So sex desire is the impediment. But just see, again, another example coming here, how the Lord, by His mercy, turns the material impediments into spiritual service. There was a brilliant line, Prabhupada, we just read in that purport. The Lord, by His mercy, turns the material impediments into spiritual service, as He will do for Daksha also. Right? So 34. So, Vishnu Thakur says, the Lord who enters the body of the person following an immature path of knowledge appeared to be Jiva according to the nature of their hearts. Just as air appears variously after taking shelter of various fragrances. Okay? So those who... the Lord basically reciprocates. He said those who follow this path, the lower path or immature path of knowledge, the Lord appears to be Jiva according to the nature of their hearts. It's mentioned over here. As per their consciousness, the Lord variously manifests. Okay? Lord appears variously to various practitioners. So Vishnu Thakur says, it has been stated in verse 28 to 30 that though the material forms are also the Lord, they do not arise from His Sarup Shakti. It has been shown in verse 31 and 32 that the statements of Bhakti and Gyan scriptures are not contradictory. Now Daksha shows that those who claim that the difference between Jiva and the Lord is illusory and not real are not following the path of real jnana. Right? So therefore, those who follow, therefore it's mentioned, Vishnu Thakur, those who wrongly follow the path of knowledge, or those who are immature practitioner of jnana marg, they foolishly conclude that you are the jiva. But you appear the jiva to him. It is you who appear jiva to him. Right? Krishna says, I sustain the faith of the demigod worshipper. I give him the faith that I am the supreme. Right? And many times, try to understand this point by many times those who were devotees would worship deities and the malechhas would come and said, we will break your Bhagavan. Right? But they broke the stone only because for them, they thought him to be a stone and the Lord acted like a stone to them. The Lord, because it was their ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sathaiva bhashamyaham, right? Their bhav is a stone and the Lord respects in the same way. The devotees, by their bhav, they invite the Lord, right? But the Lord can reciprocate even from matter because everything is His energy. So for the devotee is the same. Deity is actually Supreme Lord, but they could break because the Lord He just reciprocated like a stone with them, and then strengthening their idea that He is a stone. And they say, look, where was the Bhagavan? So we understand that how the Lord has these various energies and powers by which He reciprocates with the different practitioners, whether mature, immature, and every path in a different, in a unique way. Okay. Like that. So those who want to forget the Lord helps them to forget Him. But everything actually is a Madhvacharya has given very beautiful. Everything actually is a mercy of the Supreme Lord. But it's a various grades of mercy. Right? So Madhvacharya says, even when Krishna says, I cast the envious people, those who want to forget me, into deepest regions of hell, He do out of His mercy. But there's a very low grade of mercy. There are much higher, mercy of the Supreme Lord that a conditioned soul can awake. But the conditioned soul choose that form and the Lord facilitates. The law of karma is also mercy of the Lord. Actually everything, so therefore Lord is absolutely good. But how much good you choose from Him depends upon you. What kind of one? So the laws of karma. Law of the karma is also Lord's mercy. But it's not the higher mercy. There are much higher mercies.
There are higher form of mercy available. Right? So therefore, Daksha is begging, my Lord, please show your mercy. Right? So the Lord will give the mercy, but it's not a higher mercy. Right? So there are various levels of mercy which the Lord gives as per your desire. Right? Just like one devotee once shared, you know, he was giving a class, you know, he just innocently shared this point. He said, you know, once I was just thinking, you know, I have not eaten puranpoli for so many days. And next day, you know, one devotee came and he said, I was thinking, you know, I have not eaten so many days, but I cannot tell anyone that I want puranpoli, you know. Because whom shall we tell? Because we are brahmacharis. You know, he said like that in the class. And then he said, but the next day someone came and gave me puranpoli mahaprasad. Oh, such a mercy of the Lord. You know, but this is one level of mercy. But if the Lord free you from the desire to have puranpoli, that will be higher mercy. Right? And he mentioned that point, and this Lord is so merciful. And next day, many Matajis brought puranpolis, you know. Congregation Matajis. They said, please distribute to brahmacharis. We understand many brahmacharis have desire to eat puranpoli, but they cannot express before anyone. It actually happened. You know. It actually happened. So like that, you know. So there are various... when a devotee obtains something, oh, Lord is so merciful. But higher mercy, Lord takes away the desire for anything material. But there is even higher mercy to that. Krishna gives everything who can engage. So there are so many levels of mercy, right? According to which Krishna reciprocates. So all has been pointed out in this particular prayer. Okay, read the translations. No?
Go ahead,
Roop, read.
Seeing that wonderful and effulgent form of a Supreme Personal Godhead, Prajapati Daksha was first somewhat afraid, but then he was very pleased to see the Lord and fell to the ground like a stick to offer his respect to the Lord.
Okay, so Supreme Lord appeared before him, pleased by his prayers, right? But he is not supremely pleased, you know. Lord also has his service to be done, right? So he came. So he was pleased and then to grant his desires. He came before Daksha. Yes, go ahead. Yeah, he is a materialistic devotee, prakirti bhakta. He has material attractions. We can't just say he is a devotee, because anyone who approaches the Supreme Lord, the Lord considers him to be a devotee.
But he has, still has materialistic propensities. Right? Yeah, so he could have understood the prayers, but how much realization he has, that we can't say. You know, there's a different level of realization also. He says that different people approach differently the Supreme Lord. You know, he has offered the understand the tattva of the Lord, right? And he asks the Lord his mercy, but probably he doesn't understand that what will be his supreme mercy. Right? Just like when a devotee is caught up in a particular circle, just like we also, you know, as I said, that when we achieve something, you know, which we desire, some desired, cherishable object, we just happen to think of it, and Krishna arranged through some devotee or somebody, you know, and we consider it to be supreme mercy. You know, it's not the supreme mercy. So yes, Daksha is still a materialistic devotee, Prakrit Bhakta, you know, in that sense, who has these materialistic tendencies to a good extent, like that. So we can't say that he has a full realization of this prayer himself. But he knows that Supreme Lord exists beyond this creation, exists within the heart. He's, and you know, everything that is there comes from him only. He's the one who can grant everyone's desire like that. So he has certain understanding of the Supreme Lord. He's approaching him like that. Okay, go ahead, read.
As the rivers are filled by water flowing from a mountain, all of Daksha's senses are filled with the pleasure. Because of his highly elevated happiness, Daksha could not say anything, but simply remained flat.
Okay, so Daksha was filled with great happiness. Prabhupada says, when one actually realizes or sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is filled with complete happiness. Prabhupada gives the example of Dhruva Maharaj. Swamin Kirtartho Smi Varam Nayache. Go ahead.
Although Prajapati Daksha could not say anything, when the Lord, who knows everyone's heart, saw his devotees prostrate in that manner and desiring to increase the population, he addressed him as follows.
Okay, so he didn't express his desire before the Lord. Yeah, but the Lord himself spoke. Go ahead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O most fortunate Prachetas, because of your great faith in me, you have attained the supreme devotional ecstasy. Indeed, because of your austerities combined with the exalted devotion, your life is now successful. You have achieved a complete perfection.
Okay.
My dear Prajapati Daksha, you have performed extreme austerities for the welfare and growth of the world. My desire also is that everyone within the world be happy. I'm therefore very pleased with you because you are endeavoring to fulfill my desire for the welfare of the entire world.
Right, so Lord wants that living entity gets the body and then gradually they understand eternal relation. So this world should be populated is also his desire. Right? So the Lord says, this is also my desire. So Vishnu Thakur says, since your austerity for increasing the population of the earth is my desire, your austerity has become successful. Okay, go ahead.
Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Madhus, all the other demigods in the higher planetary systems, and you Prajapatis, who are increasing the population, are working for the benefit of all living entities. Thus, your expansions of my marginal energy are incarnation of my various qualities.
So persons doing this work, because it's Krishna's work only, they can't be considered just like ordinary materialists. Right? They are not like low-class people. So Prabhupada says, although Prajapati Daksha is not on the same level as Lord Brahma and Shiva, he is compared to them because he engages in the service of the Lord. In the service of the personality of Godhead, it is not that Lord Brahma is considered very great, while an ordinary human being trying to please the glory of the Lord is considered very low. There are no such distinctions. Regardless of whether materially high or materially low, anyone engaged in the service of the Lord is spiritually very dear to him. Right? So Prabhupada makes this, he drives a general point over here, that anyone who serves the Lord. Right? But there are various grades of services. Right? This is also service to the Lord. Right? So anyone who engages in any service, even though he may be conditioned, etc., actually he should not be criticized. That is an important point. One should not think, they are fools and rascals, they are very low, this and that. One should not criticize the demigods also. Although, they are also very eager for sex life. If you see demigods, they have this proclivity. But he said, one should not consider them low. And one should not criticize them. For that will be an offense. Because somehow they are engaged in the service of the Lord. So by continuing their service, they will gradually come to the higher platform also. So Krishna also says, don't disturb the faith of those who are engaged in Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Gradually, they will come to higher faith also. Anyone who is on the right path, they should not be criticized. But then he says, Bhagatam does establish the superiority of bhakti over all the other paths, and it condemns all the other paths, is it not? So how do you understand that? No, Bhagavatam condemns Pravritti Marg also. Narad Muni condemns Pravritti Marg, which is the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies are condemned. Yeah, there are many ways, many places the path of the Veda which is indirectly connected is condemned in Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam condemns not for the sake of condemning them. Bhagavatam only condemns for you to take up to the higher path. Bhagavatam only wants you to take up the higher path. So therefore, now when you're reading Bhagavatam, you don't be attracted towards anything. In the other scripture, when this is described, Bhagavatam perspective will not be there. Since you have come to the stage of understanding Supreme Lord, for you, everything else is condemned now. So Bhagavatam strengthens your faith in Bhagavad Dharma by condemning. It doesn't condemn out of feeling superiority. Like we condemn some other demigods or some other bhaktas, etc. We condemn. We may be feeling superior, we are in a privileged position. So we may commit offense. What are the points? So Bhagavatam purpose is very different. Right? But another way to understand is, Bhagavatam condemns those philosophies, but Bhagavatam is not condemning those persons many times. Or in our practice, like in preaching, a person can condemn a lower philosophy, but not a person practicing a lower philosophy. Just like Prabhupada would always condemn Mayavadis and this and that, right? The scientists, Mayavadis. But if Prabhupada would meet a great scientist, how respectful he was. He was deal with great respect. Is there any incident Prabhupada called any scientist fool and rascal on his face? No. In his personal dealing, Prabhupada is condemning the philosophy to establish higher philosophy. But the person may be practicing that lower philosophy. If it is on the right track, we don't condemn and criticize him. But for people to understand what is higher and what is lower, the philosophy can be condemned. Right? So Prabhupada was very cordial to Mr. Mishra. He was a Mayavadi. But Prabhupada condemned Mayavad in his lectures. But not the person practicing that lower philosophy. So therefore, it's a if a person, most of the time, this Madhvacharya has given specifically this warning so many times. If anyone come criticize demigods who are, although they are materialistic devotees, they are attached to enjoyment. If anyone condemns them out of envy, which is usually, you know, any sadhaka, when it condemns, it's out of feeling superiority, pride, envy. For these feelings, that person will fall from the platform of pure devotional service. Madhvacharya says that. So one should not condemn even the practitioners like Daksha or any other people out of any feeling that we are superior or they are inferior. But however, the path, yeah, we can discuss which path is higher, which path is lower. And the lower path can be condemned, that they are useless to establish the usefulness of bhakti. Like that. Anything Prabhupada says done under the direction of Vedic injunction is called dharma. Prabhupada quotes in this purport. 46 we are discussing, right? 45, okay, let's discuss that under 46. Continue in that line. Read the translation.
My dear Brahmana, austerity in the form of meditation is my heart. Vedic knowledge in the form of hymns and mantras constitutes my body. And the spiritual activities and ecstatic emotions are my actual form. The ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices, when properly conducted, are the various limbs of my body. The unseen good fortune proceeding from the pious and spiritual activities constitutes my mind. And the demigods who executes my order in various departments are my life and soul.
Okay, so here in this verse, Prabhupada says, some atheists argue that since God is invisible to their eyes, they do not believe in God. For them, the Supreme Lord is describing a method by which one can see God in his impersonal form. Okay, so this verse described. You see the austerity as austerity is a form of meditation. Austerity in the form of meditation is my heart. Right? Like there are people who condemn the personalist. Kya dhyan kar rahe ho? Tapa karo, yagya karo, usse bhagwan santusht honge. Tapa bhagwan ka heart hai. Aisa kahe hai bhagwan, you know. So why you are just simply, so they don't know the higher reality. So they are convinced of this lower reality. Lower reality is also given. Right? So basically then Prabhupada quotes here the Yamdutas, Vedo pranahito dharmo. Whatever is said in the Vedas is dharma. It's an important point. So, anyone who is following Vedic path, he person is walking on the path of dharma. Now, there are various grades of dharma, lower and higher. There's such a huge, there is not one dharma. There are various grades of dharma. But anyway, as long as the person is walking on the path of dharma, it's acceptable. You know, I once went to Hyderabad. My sister was there and she sent me an address. It was written, her house was on the Dharam Karam Road. The name, Dharam Karam Road. You know, so I was just thinking, you know, as long as people walk on the Dharam Karam Road and not Narak Road, it's acceptable. So the scriptures, all the scriptures, they want people to be situated on Dharam Karam Road. And not on the road to hell, not on the path of Narak. So therefore, you know, there are so many various dharmas has been described. Because not everyone can take the paro dharma. But let everyone be on the road of dharma. Or dharam karam marg. Sab log dharam karam karte rahe, you know, then they will not go to hell. Because that's intense suffering. Vedo pranahito dharmo. Yes. My dear Brahmana. Wait a minute. Huh? His previous birth, was he a Brahmana? Okay. He was the son of Lord Brahma. In his previous birth. Right. Huh? Or he may be generally... Wait a minute. Huh? Yeah. He glorifies himself as a Brahmana. Yeah, so that is possible. So the Supreme Lord is addressing him as per his previous. That is possible. That's a quite valid understanding. Okay, so read the 47.
Before the creation of this costume manifestation, I alone existed with my specific spiritual potential. Consciousness was this unmanifested, just as was consciousness is unmanifested during the time of sleep.
Okay, the text 47. Now the Lord is describing his form according to Bhakti Yoga. Right? So, because Prabhupada says that the form of Paramatma and Brahman came after the cosmic manifestation. Aham evasam evagre means the personal form of the Lord. At that time, there was no conception of consideration of Paramatma and impersonal Brahman. It was not before. But the Brahman which we perceive in this world, Sarva Khalu Idam Brahman, right? That's that Brahman which people realize. The Brahman, everything is of Brahman, and that people see Brahman. That what the people realize in this world is actually the Brahman, manifestation of Brahman in everything. So nothing was manifest. So there was, at that time, there was no Brahman conception. I said, I only existed alone. Right? And there was no Paramatma before the creation existence also. Right? Before the creation, only Bhagavan existed. That is being pointed out. Yeah, the Supreme Lord as a Brahma Jyoti is always existing. But the Brahman conception of or the Virat Rupa conception, that was not existing. Okay, read 48. Okay, so Lord speaks, I am the original cause as Bhagavan, I am the original cause. From me come Brahma. Right? So the description of universal creation by the Lord, briefly. Go ahead.
The chief of the Lord of the universe, Lord Brahma, having been inspired by my energy, was attempting to create. He thought himself incapable. Therefore, I gave him advice. And to accord with my instruction, he underwent extremely difficult austerities. Because of these austerities, the great Lord Brahma was able to create 9 personalities, including you, to help him in the function of creation.
Okay, so Lord Brahma performed tapasya, and Prabhupada again glorifies tapasya. Although tapasya is not anga of bhakti, but still Prabhupada has glorified tapasya at many places. And Prabhupada says, one should engage in penance and austerity to attain that divine position of devotional service. Right? So tapasya is like an antibiotic. Anga of bhakti are like, you know, the what nourishes health. If a person is very sick, he is given antibiotics as well as some vitamins, proteins, etc., through food or some capsule or some powders, is it not? Right? So the tapasya helps to remove infection. The purpose is to gain good health. Purpose is not, you know. So, but the antibiotics are not giving good health as such. Is it not? Rather, we know the antibiotics actually are harmful in for as far as nourishment is concerned. But they are giving good health by removing the infection so that a person can digest, you know, nutrition which is given to him. So the Angada Bhakti is like a nutrition while tapasya is like an antibiotic. क्या बोलते हैं भाई डॉक्टर लोग Purvat glorifies tapasya at so many places. Okay, read, go ahead.
My dear son, Prajapati Panchajan has a daughter named Asigni, who I offer to you so that you may accept her as your wife.
Okay, so Supreme Lord offered him a wife also. Okay, go ahead.
Now unite in sexual life as a man and woman, and in this way, by sexual intercourse, you will be able to beget hundreds of children in the womb of this girl, increase the population.
Okay, because the Supreme Lord is facilitating, this cannot be a dharma. Prabhupada says, whatever is given by the Supreme Lord, that is dharma. Right? So, Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita, dharma vruddho bhuteshu. So this is, he is on the part of dharma, so he is not to be criticized or minimized, but we just understand that this is not the highest dharma. Right? Prabhupada says, it should be noted, third paragraph, that although such a facility for sexual intercourse is achieved by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this facility is not offered to advanced devotees. This is not his advanced mercy. Right? Again, Prabhupada says, last paragraph, one should not think Daksha received the favor of the Lord by receiving the facilities for unlimited sex. One should not think that this is a great mercy, great favor. No. It's a small mercy. There are much higher forms of mercy of the Lord. Right? And Karda Muni also received the similar mercy. Right? But he didn't have this desire. He desired for bhakti, which he never, Daksha. So he achieved some facility for sex desire. He had a small desire. But then he asked for devotional service, Karda Muni received devotional service. But Daksha had much more unlimited desire for sex. So he received lesser mercy of the Lord. Okay? Like that. The comparison is given in the purport. Okay, last word. I said two more verses. Read.
After you give birth to many hundreds of thousands of children, they will also be captivated by my illusory energy and will engage like you in sexual intercourse. Because I am merciful to you on you and them, they will also be able to give me presentation in devotion.
Okay, so Lord is saying they will be captivated by illusory energy. They will also be captivated. Right? So, now, by my grace, you will be captivated by the illusory energy. But since it's Krishna grace, therefore, he will be able to come out also. That is the whole thing. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami says, you have unlimited desires, go to Krishna. Krishna will fulfill, but you will be able to get over it. The demigods fulfill, your vasana will only increase. That is the difference. Krishna says, finally, they will present me and in devotion, although they will be captivated by the illusory energy, gradually they will become free from it also. That's the main difference. Right? And approaching Krishna. But better, why should one suffer so much? That's the whole point. People think, okay, let me enjoy also. Krishna ke paas to pahunch hi jayenge. He said, actually, we can't understand that this enjoyment is not enjoyment, it's suffering. Why suffer so much and approach Krishna? Why not approach Krishna directly and be unlimitedly happy? So Bhada Bhakti is actually great happiness in the practice and all that. While this Pravritti Marg and other Gyan Marg, there is a undue suffering, unnecessary suffering. One will approach Krishna gradually, but so much of klesh in between, so much suffering. Therefore, one should not follow these examples. Right? Okay, last verse. So the Lord thus what should we say? Showed his little mercy to Daksha. Yeah. Or for devotees actually is a so called mercy in one sense. So and then the Lord disappeared. and then illusory energy took over. Right? So actually we understand how, although Daksha saw the Lord, his seeing the Lord was truly not fruitful. So without bhakti, seeing the Lord is of no value. We should understand. Therefore, devotees, they only desire devotional service. Because when one person gets bhakti, he actually sees the Lord. Right? And without bhakti, seeing the Lord has no value. So from the point of view of devotional service, Daksha's seeing the Lord was hardly of any good. Like that. Grantra Srimad Bhagatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.